Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hey, you, listen up. Yeah, you guys know we're back again. We've partnered with Louis Wickett of Key Mortgage Group. Louis Lens, guys, louislens.com. All right, you've heard the ad over the last couple months, and we are sticking with Louis. He has proved to be one of the best, truly, and you can see that in his Google reviews. He has 112 reviews, 5-star rating on Google. He is who you need to go to if you have mortgage needs. Wade Anderson on Google said, Louis did a great job working on our new mortgage. He went out of his way to make sure we got the best rate on our new home and worked extended hours some days to meet our work schedules. Would recommend anyone looking to purchase a new home to speak with Louis to make their dream of home buying a reality. Isn't that what you want? When you're trying to be in that process of buying a home, something that most people don't know a lot about, you want somebody that's going to give you the peace of mind and make you feel like as you walk away from that situation that you got the best deal and you were able to go through the entire process simply and educated throughout the entire thing. All right, Louis' cell phone number is 515-238-9949. Did you guys know that HousingWire, according to HousingWire, 90% of Americans could benefit from a mortgage refinance today? Call Louis at 515-238-9949. If you have a mortgage and haven't looked at it yet, call Louis. 515-238-9949.
In today's episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, we are joined again by the one and only Brady Ross. Kevin couldn't make it, so Brady's stepping in to help host and preview Penn State. We catch up with Brady. He gives all sorts of wisdom, as he always does. And we have a good time. We hope you do listening. So, you know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 164 of the podcast. Drake coming back at you with the intro because I know you got tired of listening to the Kluver's boring ass on the last episode. So today we thought we'd change the flavor up a little bit, and we're doing that twofold. I'm taking over the intro, and I'm introducing my guy back at it for a second time. I like to say back at it like a crack addict. Me and him got combined more CTE than Aaron Hernandez. And
we're going to have...
Yeah, but we're going to have a fun time. So, B. Ross, Brady, welcome.
He said he has none now. Oh, dear. I thought you were going to say, and I'm Brady, you can jump in here in a second because that was your intro, but I really thought, Drake, you were going to say, I like to say back at it like a crack addict. Me and him are both crack addicts. I thought it was coming and I was about to be like, okay,
that would be awesome.
B Ross, welcome to the show. Advantage washed up walk-ons. What's up, brother?
Hey boys. Yeah, this was it's kind of a spur of the moment deal. 20 minutes ago, I had no idea that this is where I'd be and this is what I'd be doing. So let's see what I can add. I don't know that I'll be able to contribute much.
I think you will be able to contribute plenty. You were most requested second episode, two-time guest, I would say, since we started the show.
I kind of was a two-time guest because we split that into two.
Yeah, two episodes because we went for a solid 2 hours. We could have gone for 4 hours. When Drake got a little edgy on Twitter this summer, you were requested as a replacement nominee for him as host. I saw multiple like deep Twitter conversations where they were like, if they bring Brady Ross back and drop Kulik, I'll start listening to the show again. I got a chuckle out of that one.
Wow.
I know, right? The reason that you are here is that Kevin absolutely works himself into the ground. I'm worried for him. I really am. Drake, how do you feel about Kevin's work habits?
Well, his work habits are great. His work schedule leaves something to be desired, in my opinion. But if I had to spend the entire day up until 9 p.m. in the hospital knowing that I had to go back to work the next day, I wouldn't be interested in doing a podcast either. So yeah. Hopefully we get him back someday. But if Stryker runs him into the grave, I don't think he's that sad and we won't be sad either. We'll celebrate him and so be it. R.I.P.
And hopefully his retirement accounts are good. I think he left that to the Wash Up Walk-On, so that should be good. Speaking of retirement accounts, Brady, are you financial advising people yet? When you came on the show, you said
I studied a little bit today for my SIE, but I'm I have my last step through the hiring process there in a couple weeks.
It's
all about deciding where I'm going to go. So we're progressing towards that, but.
Is that deciding where you're going to go location wise or company wise?
At both.
Okay. What's ideal?
I don't care geographically, but we got a couple companies as potential options. So we'll see whatever catches my eye the most.
And the reason we're doing this.
Bring it out west, Big Daddy.
Yeah, go out to Arizona.
No, you don't got to come out to Arizona. Go like Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Washington, anywhere, dude. There's some sweet places out here.
We are coming off a win against Minnesota, where I soloed a podcast because Drake was making money. Kevin was making
money. No, I was losing money. I was 100% losing money. I would have been on the podcast if I was making money.
Okay. Brady, what was your favorite trophy game if you had one? And talk about your experience with
we already know, dude, it's Iowa State, and he would trade all the other trophies for Iowa State.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about your experience with Minnesota and the pig and the bacon and then I don't know if you've caught all the games this year, but what's your opinion on Iowa this far, 2-2 in the season?
The pig's a big one. I remember last year I was the first one of the pig. We took the knee, and I just started Naruto running.
That's absolutely incredible. Bo would be so proud.
You turned into anime? It was anime, yeah. Brady?
Speaking of Bo, you guys remember when Bo spanked the pig on the ass when he got there first?
Yeah, I sure do. He's the only one who would think about doing that. Unbelievable. Any other memories from the pig games, Brady? Any blackout collisions or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I don't know if it was Winfield's son or who that was, but it was just one of those years of safety. I went down to cut him and he went down to cut me, and we just dove at each other's. We each targeted each other, so I don't know if the ref knew.
It's a double.
I think that's why he didn't throw the flag, is because we were both.
Do you guys remember in 2015 when they came in and it was a tight game and we were in them black uniform? Or no, was it 2016?
15,
in those black uniforms, and I got blocked into the punter, and I thought the ref called a roughing the punter, and I was shook about it for days afterwards. I didn't even get a penalty, and I was still shook for days.
I do remember that. Oh, you were salty.
Because you thought it was for days?
No, or? I knew that. So somebody on our punter turn team got a penalty thrown on them that play for holding. But I went and rushed the guy and hit the shield guy as hard as I could. And I got bounced off to the left, and the punter just so happened to be like punting to his right. So as I bounced off of the shield, I had a collision like with my shoulder on shoulder with the punter, and he went down obviously because punters flop. And I really thought I got a penalty, and I thought I was going to lose the game for us. And I was definitely just going to go and tie myself to the train tracks afterwards. But here we are. We won.
That's incredible. Oh my God.
That would not be good.
Brady, you, I don't even know where I was going to go with that. You, with this year's team, what do you think has gone differently in the first, in the last two games versus the first two games? Do you think it was just the teams are shitty, or has Iowa figured something out, caught rhythm, momentum, some would say?
Well, I stay away from Twitter to a large degree, but I think, you know, the sky was falling and, you know, what have you after the first couple weeks. And what I think happened is we didn't play great. You know, we're a developmental program who didn't really have an opportunity to maximize their development due to the Rona. And we played poorly in the first 2 weeks and lost two close games to Big Ten opponents. And at the end of the day, we're, you know, what, 5-6 points away from being 4-0.
But did you think that some of those guys in that locker room needed a wake-up call?
I don't know. I haven't been, I mean, I can't make statements like that because I haven't been on the team this offseason.
See, I thought they needed a wake-up call from the shit I've been hearing, that people have just been walking around and letting their egos like run the show, and it's no longer like it, or it wasn't like this super team first mentality. And I was hearing that from inside the locker room. So I was not impressed, and I thought they really needed a wake-up call. And then sure, lo and behold, they lose two in a row, looked like a pretty bad team, and then they come out and just beat the piss out of it.
I'm trying to think of how you have more
team, so maybe they got the wake-up,
because I hadn't heard any of that, but I'll believe you.
We were hearing a couple of rumblings. Do you think that actually, here's a great question, because I got a couple DMs about this. There's been comparisons made to, at least to me, about Spencer being this year's Jake Rudock. And I know that was a little bit before you, Brady, but I mean, it was right when you came in, right? Your true freshman year was when Rudock.
He was 15. Nah, his true freshman year was 15.
That's right. You guys came in and had it easy.
I came in right after the Hawkslayer Bowl.
What a time. There's been comparisons, Drake, I guess this speaks more to you than that right now. Spencer is our Jake Rudock, and we need to put in our CJ Beathard. And the question from the one person specifically that didn't want to be mentioned was like, do the players and the coaches on the inside know that, like, did they know that CJ was as talented as Jake was, and that he could potentially do better? And is that the situation right now this year?
So first of all, I don't think that's a situation this year. You got it. We knew that regardless of how talented the rest of the team was going to be, Spencer could have a little bit of trouble early in the season, because it is a way different situation when you're the guy and the bullets are flying and yada, yada. Like, we talked about that. So no, it's not a situation like that, because Rudock had many, many an opportunity over multiple seasons going on later in his career to make improvements. And that just didn't really happen. It was just like a dink and dunk offense. Can't all be put on him maybe, but who knows? No, it's not a CJ situation, because Spencer is the best option for this team. Like, can't be convinced otherwise until this kid has the opportunity to work through his growing pains.
I have been responding to people, and I could be wrong, but again, you know, I know several people on the team. I know other people who know people on the team. I don't think that even if Spencer is our Jake Rudock this year, I don't think we have a CJ Beathard waiting in the wings yet. And that sucks, but I think that that could turn, like Brady said, the developmental period will come. There's going to be a January period, a spring period, a summer, hopefully, that this team gets to really put the hammer down and grind out some development. And I think that the quarterback competition will be really, really good this offseason. But right now, I mean, you look at, you know, in Hogan's case, Deuce Hogan, the freshman, he's been on campus for 2 months and he's probably been running scout team. So he's not even working with Iowa's offense during practices.
Not to mention, it's a whole lot different from being a very talented young kid out of high school that people have like a lot of promise, or that shows a lot of promise, to being the guy that has to run the entire show, call the audibles, read the defense, mm-hmm. and really in Iowa's offense, solve the chess game. And, you know, it's just a whole different story.
Yeah.
The other component when it comes to Spencer is when you talk about a starting quarterback, there's a very, there's an important criterion, so to speak. Whereas, will I run through a brick wall for this guy? And as I understand it, I was never on the team with Jake. That was maybe a little bit lacking.
In that. Extreme.
And yeah, it was lacking.
With Spencer, it's really not. He's an awesome.
And it certainly player. Wasn't with CJ either.
And that's, again, is that enough? No, it's not enough, but it ain't nothing. And
yeah,
so that's something Spencer certainly has going for him. And I for anyone out there speculating that the wrong guy is in there at quarterback, or that there's a better alternative on the sideline, that's just not the case.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Not right now. Obviously, it could become the case. Padilla could get there. Hogan could get there. What, somebody behind him, they're going to have time to develop here. And I mean, it's known in the program, you know, some coaches make it more known than others and keep it on the front of your mind. But there's, I remember, I think our junior year, Drake, 2016, there was a, you know, I don't think he was being real serious, but I had a bad couple practices, like 1 week in camp. And Wallace came up to me and he was like, you know, Kluver, we'll put fucking Subert's ass in there. You know that? We'll put his, you know, we're not, you know, you're on scholarship now. You've been the snapper. We'll put Jackson's ass in there and he'll snap the goddamn ball. And I was like, I mean, he was joking around a little bit, but it was true. Like, nobody's safe if someone else can give us more. And it's not the NFL type business, but it's a business in some sense. So, and I think Brady, you brought up an incredible point. There is this intangible factor of, and in Rudock's case, and Jake was a good guy.
It was nothing about him as a human being. It was just him as a leader of men in a battle situation.
He wasn't Leonidas. Like, I'm not following him. But CJ, I mean, there's just something that you can't really quantify. Charisma, just swagger.
That's the golden goat. That's the golden goat.
CJ was a guy. He was one of the guys.
Yeah.
He was.
And the word is that Spencer's also that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So it's just deeper than what it is, you know.
But with all of this being said, after four games, he is what he is
mm-hmm.
on film.
Yeah.
And we need to see improvement over the next four games.
Yep. Guaranteed. You have to get better week to week. You have to. This is a big week to do that, because you have an opportunity against a generally blue blood, good, solid team in Penn State, who is in a, I mean, you think as an Iowa fan base, you think that we're looking for answers this year. Imagine being a Penn State fan. Yeah. I mean, that's so, and we're going to go over some of the stats there. Before we get there, something we saw in the last game that we've seen in multiple games now, and I'm really curious about, and this is something I actually jokingly predicted before the season. We've seen some Tyler Goodson wildcat formations.
Oh.
I love it. However, the wildcat works for one specific reason, and it's that there is the threat that this person catching the ball might actually throw it. And I don't know if Tyler Goodson can. We haven't done any pass plays yet. And at some point, if we throw Tyler Goodson back there in the wildcat, they're going to crash 11 down on the box, and it's not going to work.
No, we haven't, though.
What?
You know we haven't.
Oh, they've got something, but we haven't shown anything out of it. I mean,
listen, my guy T. Goody, he is talented enough of an athlete that I guarantee he can throw it in some capacity.
I'm not doubting that. I'm not doubting it. But I think we have to run a play in a situation that doesn't really, I mean, every situation matters, but somewhere like middle of the game, we're up.
The play that I have envisioned is them running it with the split backfield. So it's like him and two guys next to him.
It's the Heisman set.
And I would like to see him run like a zone read, but keep it away and look like he's running it, but then have the receiver fake crack and go. And that's an easy throw. Like he either overthrows it and that's okay, no harm done, or it's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would love to see that play.
What do you think about it, Brady?
I love the Wildcat. I think Brian might have snuck into the position room and looked at my notes, because when he was coaching the tight ends and the fullbacks were sitting in the back row just dicking off, usually that's what I was drawing up. My future.
What I'm extremely scummed about, Brady, and we've spoken about this, but the podcast needs to hear it, is how many formations Brian is putting the fullback in now that we're not playing.
Does that speak more to you guys versus the current fullback?
Well, it definitely speaks about me because I was dog shit, but Brady was very good. And I think Brian,
I don't know if I really know what you're getting. I mean,
bro, did you not see him out on the perimeter?
He's asking you.
Screen? And did you not see him in the wing when they were running, like, you know, at, they were just trying to put a bunch of bodies at the point of attack and he was playing the wing. Like he's been in a,
yeah, we loved practicing that stuff, or like, even, you know, Brian loved talking about we were going to do that stuff, but it never came to fruition. I guess that, you know, we probably had a little bit more limitations than Monty did. So
I guess that's what we're finding out, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's definitely a better athlete.
He's kind of a stallion. Not that you guys weren't, but Drake definitely had less stallion in him when his ankle did a 360. And actually, Brady, there's a few questions. The main question was, we need to get Brady back on and ask him about this year's fullback play compared to his own, and how would he rank himself against Potabom? Like, do you think he's a better fullback than you?
Oh no, not at all. Right now, not even close. Soon he may be, because Brady speaks highly of the kid. But I don't even care if this question was directed at Brady or not. I'm stealing the Mike Kanye style. The kid is not even close to better than Brady yet, because he still is very sloppy in some fundamental areas where he's just going to learn later on. He's just going to correct it from growing up a little bit, and he's going to be a stud. But Brady is still, in my humble opinion, the best fullback that I have seen on tape to ever play for Iowa.
He's a little raw yet, but he's definitely a superior athlete to me. I mean, he's faster, probably a little bit more versatile with the ball in space. But
he couldn't eat snack like you could, though.
It is the case that we're not really asked to do that much at Iowa. Like Drake likes saying, you know, and I appreciate it, Drake, you know, how great I am as a fullback. Well, I think I was really good at what I was asked to do.
Yeah, but see, and that's all you can be asked to do is because we didn't run pipe routes and we didn't run the fucking fake B corner. You know what I'm saying?
That's good because that stuff, not quite in my wheelhouse as much as, you know, some of the stuff that I was asked to do as far as lead blocking and things like that. So
you're saying that if they would have put the Wildcat, if Brian would have been talking about Wildcat with you on the team and had you back there, you wouldn't have felt too comfortable with that?
Well, I would have felt great as long as it was my job to just throw my face at somebody.
I say we give you the ball, let you catch the snap and do with it what you want. Drake, if you're Kanye, am I or Brady Taylor Swift?
You are 100% Taylor Swift.
Well, I would have been in that context because you.
Yeah,
yeah, but I don't care because
I'll take that as a compliment. I enjoy Taylor Swift's music.
How about Kanye on Rogan? I could not watch more than 12 minutes of that.
I heard it was shit, and I didn't even tune in.
Dude, it was shit.
He is. Oh.
I did not watch 1 minute because I saw a bunch of complaints about it, and I was like, great, it wasn't even good, so I'm not wasting my time.
I feel sorry for him. It's sad, but yeah, he's not.
It's like he's a genius in some ways and absolutely Neanderthal in others. Anyway, Penn State, moving on. We play the Nittany Lions. They're 0-4. Did you ever think we'd see it? I'll tell you this. In 2016, when we were beating our ass, I didn't think that within the next 5 years they'd look like they have the first 4 weeks of this season.
I never thought I'd see the day where Maryland has more wins than Michigan and Penn State combined.
That's insanity.
To be alive.
That's a stupid stat. This from one of the questions we asked on the
walk-out. You know what? I got to go back now that Brady brings up Michigan. I got to go back to that comment I made about Michigan State losing to them. And the only reason I said that is because Michigan was so highly ranked and they were a 25-point favorite. So it was a very similar situation. Like, I don't even think we were 25-point underdogs when we beat them. So that's the reason I said that. And it turns out, to Kevin's point, when he's like, keep that bullshit out of your mouth, we have no idea if they're even any good. Turns out they're terrible.
Yeah.
And I should have just shut up. But that's also what I meant when I made that comment. Defense,
Michigan State, from what I've seen of them, is just horrific.
Bad. Dude, I was there for the game, and they are – I mean, it felt like – hey, guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. It felt like the JV team at a JV high school game. That's the kind of energy they brought to the field. And I mean, they just they weren't fundamentally sound. They didn't have a lot of great communication. It was bad, guys. It was really bad. Only for Iowa on Twitter said Penn State had more first downs, 30-17, rushing yards, 245-146, passing yards, 256-152. Total yards, 500-300, and offensive plays, 90-60. The Lions only punted once in the game, a 34-yard shank. How the fuck did Nebraska win? Did you guys catch any of that game? I watched the whole thing because...
Yeah, boys, I was watching the whole thing. And
I mean, honestly...
It was a blowout early.
Yeah, Nebraska looked good in the first half, and Luke McCaffrey was giving them a good little spark. Like, kid was kind of balling.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he is. He's an athlete. I mean, he's got the McCaffrey blood, which is...
What a dream bloodline to have.
Right. It's more valuable than if you combined all three of our bloods together. In fact, that wouldn't even be valuable, really.
I don't know, dude. Brady has some pretty insane physical, like, characteristics.
That's true.
I have extremely good hair, and you are good at marketing. So you put all three of those together.
We're banking on the child having your hair, and if the 66.6% that he doesn't prevails,
it's going to be Bade.
It's not going to be very good for the hairline.
No, I watched the game as well because Lauren is big-time Husker fan. You know, they scored 3 points in the second half. They were really trying to pull an Iowa versus Northwestern is what they were basically trying to do, except for they looked better all around on offense.
Nebraska won the turnover battle, so that –
That's a huge factor. I wonder what the penalties were too. The one thing that's crazy is both teams dealing with quarterback changes. I mean, they went with McCaffrey to start the game. That was kind of up in the air. And they sat down. God, I can never remember his name. Clifford. They sat Clifford down because he was playing like ass and brought in this Will Levis guy who similarly in the second half gave the same kind of spark to the Nittany Lions that McCaffrey gave to the Huskers. So I think Levis.
Did not expect for Sean Clifford to get benched this year. Like he has the look and demeanor about him of a good, successful quarterback.
Demeanor. But Levis came in and looked good. He's physical. He looked confident. I mean, obviously when you come in like that, you're kind of playing with house money.
Feels really good for this coming week because they're either facing Clifford with shot confidence now or a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Backup quarterbacks ever play poorly when they come in.
No, they don't.
Go off. Yeah.
And I know
it's the only thing they know.
We just had a conversation about the fake idea of momentum. Is house money, is the concept of house money and no pressure a thing? Like, is that real? Is that why backups come in? Is that why Nick Foles, when he comes in mid-game, plays like a god, but if he starts the game, he's absolutely trash?
Well, it's
hey, man. It's shout out Nick Foles, though. He just busted his hip to a style.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's probably some form of, like, to some degree, confirmation bias. Like, we just forget about all the times backups come in and just suck.
Yeah, you're right.
But it does seem like every time a backup quarterback comes in, he's, you know, just on the Heisman watch list.
He's got an ESPN highlight film after the first game. This weekend will be interesting. I asked the Wash Up Walk on Twitter followers. I said on Twitter, finish this sentence. The Iowa at Penn State game this weekend will be blank. And we got a lot of close. We got a lot of nail biter. We got a lot of too close to call, too close because KF likes to make it that way. We got a lot of blowouts as well. We got a couple like pivotals, like game, like
season. How ignorant you got to be to say close because KF likes to make it that way.
I know, right? Such a jab.
How fucking stupid you got to be.
I bet that person knows so much about football.
Yeah, dude, they're a coach for sure.
Football knowledge.
Dude, they're an offensive coordinator on Madden, bro. If you guys had to finish that sentence, what would it be? I would say competitive because I think this, I don't know, maybe not. This feels like Penn State's last ditch effort with Levis. It's like, okay, Levis, it's your, I think they haven't even announced the official starter.
What's Penn State's rush defense? And I'll tell you.
Yeah. Let me pull that up real quick. Penn State rushing defense is
8.3. I don't know if my app's right.
But. Yeah. Hold on. 158.358.
It will be thorough.
Thorough.
Thorough. The okay. Hawks are going to run through them thoroughly because
as
they got it
thoroughbreds.
It will be a thorough lashing because okay. I like the way the Hawks defense is playing. Okay. We always have confidence in Phil's defense. I feel like we just talked about that a couple podcasts ago. Mm-hmm. And then they found their identity. They found the fact that they are a good offensive run blocking team and their running backs are stellar. So
Well, I'll tell you this. After Iowa just gave up almost 150 to the best rushing team in the country, basically through 4 weeks, I guess more for other conferences, Iowa still fourth in the Big Ten, only allowing 112 yards rushing per game. So, you know, Penn State's rushing attack. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't watch enough to speak.
I don't either, but I don't pay attention that closely. What I do know is that, I mean, they had to have that one running back retire because his heart was messed up. They're going through.
That's fucked up though. That really sucks.
That sucks. They're going through quarterback drama, controversy, change, and they're 0-4.
It feels so good, dude. It feels so good to see James Franklin's ass in pain. I wish Trace McSorley was there, but at least we're watching James Franklin go through hell.
I hate Trace McSorley so much.
Why is that? I don't.
The punt after they won on the last second throw was so douchey. I mean, that was such a douche move.
Mine has nothing to do with that. Mine has everything to do with the competitor in me and him being a very outwardly disrespectful to us. So like we lost to him twice and I had to watch him like douche it up. And it created a fire in me that can't be put out.
We don't like him.
I like him just to be oppositional.
Okay, good. Kirk Ferentz, we didn't get to talk about this, and I want to make sure we talk about it. He said in the post-game press conference, figured we'd take Floyd home and leave the timeouts here. What do you guys think about that quote?
So gangster, dude. Hey,
Brady. We first have to kind of outline what caused him to call those three timeouts.
Yeah, I agree.
Keep going.
I actually had the chance. I turned the TV off when it was 28-0.
Oh, but okay.
I think, you know, as I understand it, Fleck called the timeout
mm-hmm.
with like 17 seconds left. The game was clearly when it was a 4-score game. And if there's one thing that somebody who's so respectful and classy doesn't like, it's when someone acts the opposite of that.
Yeah,
and
to them.
One thing KF does not like is late game timeouts of that.
Yes, antics. Yeah.
I feel like there's been a couple games. I can't put my finger on what exact games they were, but I feel like there's been a couple games where that has happened. And it was almost like a hold him back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that really gets on his nerves.
And it's like, it's a thing where when KF gets chippy with his decisions like that. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Like if you know the guy and you're around him a bunch, you can kind of feel that. Like, I mean, there's talk about wanting to run through a wall for a guy. If KF starts to get that demeanor going, I'll do anything. I mean, I'll kill someone for KF if he starts.
Listen, dude, when we came into the KF's meeting and we saw the now yous can't leave.
Oh, I like that video.
That was one of the moments that will stick with me forever. Like the feeling that I had inside my body was like, I really want to actually go into a war situation.
Yeah, that was pretty elite. When was that? When did we get shown that?
I think it was a Minnesota game.
It was. Was it the Minnesota game of 2015?
I want to say 15 or 16.
Yeah, I don't think it was 16 because I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Okay, well, if you search, I don't know what the title of the video it is, but it's like from a movie where they're.
I can't believe I'm blanking on that movie right now.
They're at a bar and. What? They're at a bar and there's
a rival gang walks into a
rival gang walks in and they're like, they tell him to leave and
they're being respectful about it,
and they don't leave. And so the guys that own the bar and like hang out there, one of them walks over to the door and locks it, and he turns around and he just says, "There, now you can't leave." And they beat the shit out of him. And
and stole their bikes, walked out of the bar and stole their bikes.
And so the message was like, he's like, KF was like, "We're locking the fucking doors and we're going to war." And dude, I'm talking about it right now. It just gets me fired up. And all I had to go out there and do was snap a ball between my legs.
And now,
oh,
and that's
look at
where
the
I
kitty.
Got,
oh my goodness, dude.
That's where I got that in the pre-Penn State fire up when I said, you know, the doors are locked.
Yep.
That's where I got that from.
Brady, for all the Patreon subscribers who watched the video of this for the first time, or anyone who's watching it late, Brady's got a cat on the video and he's just giving love to it. And I love nothing more. Okay. Let's look at some lines as and there's a little soundbite for this, Brady, that I think you'll like.
Kevin.
All I do is win, no matter what.
So we look at and Kevin's not even here, so it's DJ Brady today. We look at the betting lines for this weekend. I'm going to roll over and we can kind of discuss as we all find games that we like, or at least Drake and I. Let's find some Big Ten. Purdue at Minnesota is currently on William Hill, at least. Purdue -3, Minnesota, or Purdue -3, over under at 62.5. By a million?
I think Purdue can cover that, yeah.
I mean, it's at Minnesota, but so were the Hawks. And
how is Purdue's run game? Because it's getting to that point in the season where it's a little more run, especially in Minnesota.
It's really bad. They average 63 yards a game.
Okay.
So that's probably why, because hold on a second. Their passing game is the top of the Big Ten. Their rushing game is the bottom of the Big Ten. They throw for 305 yards a game. Minnesota's pass defense is ninth. Or no, wait, hold on. Minnesota's pass defense is third in the league at 200 yards a game. So I guess,
dude, okay, so it's a good pass defense, in a situation where TCF Bank can get pretty damn windy. It's tough to throw the ball, and a bad rushing offense. That's a game where the line is who knows what it would be in a dome, but I don't know. I mean, Purdue seems like a pretty good team, but I just don't really like the matchup necessarily as we look at it.
You're right. It's a good analysis there. It just seems like 3 points after Iowa just did that to them. I don't know. I'm not going to bet it. I know that. Iowa versus Penn State will finish with that one. Michigan State at Maryland. Maryland -6.5. And the over-under is at 55.
Oh, Maryland there is a hammer, right,
yeah,
Brady? What do you think?
I that one, and I think if I did bet, I would bet more money line than spread, just because when you talk about final scores, stuff can get wonky pretty easy. But
yeah,
I do have a hard time seeing how, Maryland's not as close to a lock as you can be. Obviously, that's nowhere near a lock, but
I would have guessed they were up at 10. Yeah.
Michigan State is awful.
They're bad.
Maryland was going to be, but as long as Tua's brother's playing, I mean,
he's been balling. Other Big Ten lines: Illinois at Nebraska, and it's got Nebraska -14.5. I don't know if they cover that one. I don't know.
I know absolutely nothing about Illinois, so I can't really add any.
I don't either, really, but.
But I do like McCaffrey's brother, so I like Nebraska to win the game.
Illinois' one win is less than impressive. They beat Rutgers by 3.
Yeah, barely. I watched the end of it.
A smoke by Minnesota.
That's true. Maybe it sucks to see the Huskers get a win, so that's tough. Wisconsin at Northwestern, which is essentially, at least right now, the front runner race for the West. And they've got Wisconsin after they just absolutely bent Michigan over. They got Wisconsin -7.5, over under at 44.5. So low. It's like a trap line.
I think I like Wisconsin to cover that.
I do too. I think I don't, they're good.
They seem like a good team that we don't have very much info on them at all.
True.
Because they're the sample size is so small.
The two teams they played are a good team. Bad. I mean, I don't know.
And in a situation where the weather gets worse, that should favor Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think so. I couldn't. Indiana. Oh, the big one, obviously. Indiana at Ohio State. The battle. It's the battle in the West and the East this weekend.
I don't know what the line is, but Ohio State, it should, Ohio State should cover.
What do you think the line is, Greg?
Yeah. What do you think?
7.5, 8.5.
it's 20.5.
Jesus. Okay. Okay. I didn't realize that they were just taking an absolute dump on.
I don't know if Ohio State covers that. I feel like
I asked that because I kind of knew that. Yeah, that's a lot.
I feel like
Indiana, I didn't know that it was going to be that high.
I'm actually, if it's still that much, I'm probably taking Indiana to cover that.
I like the Indiana cover there. I really do.
Just because
they can score points,
they're going to fight. They're going to fight as much as they can because they know that this might be their only chance to go to the Big Ten championship in like a long time. So I see them covering three touchdowns.
Dude, I think we locked that one in. I think that's the walk-on's lock of the week for the Big Ten is the Indiana cover there.
At 20.5, as long as it's still there. Yeah. I think it'll get – let's see, where did it start?
Do you like 20.5 or do you like money line minus a grand?
No, Jesus. I like the 20.5. Give me the 20.5.
I don't know. The over under on that game is 66.5. And I actually think over, but it's pretty close on that one. And finally, Iowa, Penn State, the one, the only. Iowa currently sitting at 2.5, opened up as a pick'em. So the money's on Iowa.
Yeah. And a pick'em, it was a hammer, the Hawks.
Yeah.
For 3 points. I mean, at 2.5, they can still win by a field goal. I like it.
I do too.
The Hawks look good in the past 2 weeks. Penn State has everything going against them, kind of like we talked about. Their backs are way against the wall. There's no fans in their stadium. They don't know who their quarterback is. They don't know what their identity is. The Hawks are fine in theirs. So give me the Hawks there for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
My big thing with Penn State right now is how healthy could their collective consciousness be at this point? I mean, they're 0-4 for the first time in, I don't know.
Maybe ever.
Especially with James Franklin as a coach, I cannot imagine a worse coach to be at the helm during, you know,
a down year,
such a time of adversity. I can't imagine that they're in very optimal spirits right now to play an Iowa team. So
you think and this is kind of the question that I've been toying with, is, are they over the hill on this season of half of the season's gone? Even if we win out, we're 4-4. What does this season even mean? Who gives a shit? Let's pack it in and just go. I mean, guys start to play for themselves. I think they actually are over they're on the far side of the fence on that one. Well, I agree. Yeah.
I would say for this season, since they know they only get 8 games total anyways, and they can't, you know, it's over for them. So I would say they might be packing it in this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's obviously one, you know, two ways you can go when you're in a situation like they are right now. And, you know, what I look at when I try to predict which way they're going to go is the head coach. And again, I just
Franklin's a clown. They had
Kirk Ferentz, I think it'd be a different story, but, you know, James Franklin, I just, you know, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll win out and, you know, prove me wrong, but I wouldn't be able to bet on it. I think that's highly unlikely.
You say advantage Iowa on that one?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
2.5, yeah.
Cool. We will – I don't even give a shit to – I mean, Drake, you have NFL picks?
Yeah, I have a boatload of NFL picks.
Okay, you give yours. The other picks, we'll get Kevin's, and I'll figure out mine. We'll listen to Drake's here to end the pod, and we'll put those out in the Instagram graphic and Twitter graphic so that all of you have those, but I just don't have them right now. So, Drake, give us your NFL
picks. First of all,
picks.
Make sure I have those two. I want the Indiana and the Iowa covers. Then give me Arizona +3.5 against Seattle. Seattle's defense has looked horrible, and Russ didn't even put up all he had to do was cover 2 points against the Rams. They scored 23. Russ couldn't even touch 21. He's turning the ball over a lot. Arizona +3.5. Going to Cleveland against Philly. Cleveland at home -3. Give me Cleveland to cover. Philly just got beat by the fucking New York Giants, and we know what we say about New York. That's just putrid filth.
Yeah.
Next, give me Cincinnati +2 on points bet against Washington. I know they're the fighting Alex Smiths now, but Joe Burrow can cover 2 against the Skins.
I like that one.
Okay. Now, hate to do it to Josie, but give me the Dolphins -3 against Denver, because Denver just hasn't looked that good, and the Dolphins are hot. Ride the heat.
Yeah, I agree.
Next. Give me the Green Bay Packers +3 against Indianapolis. I don't think Indianapolis offense is that good. I'm a Packers fan. I'm an Aaron Rodgers guy. Getting 3 points, I think Aaron Rodgers can get that one done. I think that may be it, but because I'm seeing the Chiefs -6 at MGM Grand, I'm going to take them -6 against Las Vegas.
Even though Vegas won the first game?
Yes.
Or because they won the first game. It's hard to beat somebody twice.
Yeah, and KC's kind of hot right now. They're playing really well. Patrick Mahomes has got like 26 touchdowns and 2 or 3 interceptions, something like that.
And like 6 State Farm commercials.
So, yeah, I was 2-2-1 last week, so I'm still 500. And, yeah, I need to beef these stats up. So just let's get a lot of bets in.
All right, cool. Brady, if you want to throw in picks, you can on the NFL.
I want Bucks -3.5.
Because of
Patriots,
Tom?
Patriots -1.5.
Okay.
Those are my two NFL.
All right. I couldn't have guessed those two.
I mean, look at them. Are you kidding me?
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Texans.
Yeah, they're bad.
The Patriots look like a football team.
Who's playing the Texans? How did I miss that one? And what's the line?
1.5.
It's 1.5?
Patriots at Texans. Patriots by 1.5.
Patriots -1.5?
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys watched the game the other night against the Ravens, and it was obviously a rainy, soupy game.
They played well, yeah. Yeah, all right, give me that one too, Kluver. I'm in on that. That's okay. A great bet.
You got a lot of bets this weekend. Brady, I'm going to leave the podcast guest with this one.
Or Michigan State.
You want Maryland? Okay. All right, we'll throw those out there. Before you go, first of all, thanks for joining us on short notice.
Yeah.
I know you've got some lifting to do, some working out to do tonight. Tim Ferriss, I listen to Tim Ferriss podcast occasionally. He often asks his guests, if you could put one thing on a billboard, what would it be? What would your answer to that question be?
Billboard?
Yeah. Like if you could buy a billboard and put one saying, like one sentence on a billboard or something, words of wisdom, what would it be?
Like if I'm giving people advice?
Yeah. I just feel like your brain, if you don't have to force it. I was just curious.
Can I give you one in while Brady's waiting?
Yeah.
I'm deciding between two right now. Okay. In my head.
I will go with health is wealth, and underneath that, slim down America.
Okay. I would put invest in yourself. That would be my first. That would be my one thing.
And going on, you know, kind of mine is related to yours, Kluver. I guess I have two in my head right now, but I would say people overestimate what they can achieve in 1 year and underestimate what they can achieve in 10. I think I think I heard Tony Robbins say that when I was younger, and I don't know that that quote or that idea originates with him, but it's pretty rare for, you know, to hear one simple, you know, sentence or quote like that and have it really alter the way you think for the rest of your life. But I think if you can just understand that, you know, whatever it is you're aspiring to do, it ain't going to happen tomorrow. It ain't going to happen the next day. It's, you know, it's a slight edge. And if you continue to put in the work day in, day out, you can probably not achieve what you want, where you want to be in 1 year, but you can probably far exceed it further down the line. So I think that's probably my.
I knew we were.
That was sweet, Brady. I'm glad you.
I knew we were.
I feel like all of ours were the same, because investing in getting healthy and fit is investing in yourself. You're investing time into your body, which will pay dividends later.
I think Brady's year speaks to just the fact, like, compounding effect of effort and just compounding effect. I knew you were going to give us something good. Anything else?
Other one, and I think it also is just too synergistic with what we've been talking about, would be to not, you know, I'd be remiss to not bring it up, is the chains of habit are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken. Watch your habits, because they are ultimately what's going to shape, you know, your future and everything we've been
talking
about.
That one's crazy, dude. The chains of habits are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken.
Holy shit.
They'll sneak up on you.
Dude,
this is why I asked the question. I mean, it's Brady Ross, everyone.
Think about that one. The next time that you're forming a habit, think about that one.
Just think about that. All right. Thank you guys for joining the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Thanks, Brady, for joining as a guest host.
AKA the Joe Rogan Juniors.
Yeah. And we will talk at you. Well, I'll talk at you as a quick reaction after the game. And then we'll hopefully Kevin, at some point he's going to come back, I think. That's it. Everybody, see you later. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.